This is Lauren Bond, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
Pretty much a representative slower body of what you'll find not only in Lincoln Heights and in East LA, but throughout all of Los Angeles. So, let's begin. I mentioned in 2015 we purchased this property. I want to remind you that everything that you just saw is less than 10 years old, right? And when we first came onto this property, we pretty much had the safe assumption that this land was going to be toxic at some level, right? To get a sense of that toxicity, what we did was we contracted Geosyntec, which is a local engineering firm. They helped us conduct some soil sampling throughout all of the site. They drilled underneath the asphalt, took some soil samples, and we tested for heavy metals: lead, cadmium, mercury, arsenic, chromium, etc. And hydrocarbons: diesel, motor oil, gasoline, waste organics, VOCs, etc. What we found was that the moon was particularly enriched with the heavy metal lead, which ranged from, at the lowest, 30 parts per million, which is safe for residential use, up to about 350 parts per million, which is above industrial and commercial screening limits. That's a whole bunch of jargon to say, legally, that is unsafe for working on that property. There is different screening limits for residential and industrial slash commercial because different vulnerable populations are embodied in that. Working, adult range people, you're only there 8 hours a day and then you leave, right? So the exposure risk is less as opposed to living on a property where you might have vulnerable populations like children who will be living there much longer and have a much longer exposure risk. So that's how those screening limits are determined. But anyway, back to this. It's unsafe to work on this property, right? That's what we were dealing with. And in fact, the biggest hotspot of the moon was actually located here on this part of the moon. So, to begin the remediation approaches that we started to explore, we unpaved 6 study circles. They were 60 feet in diameter to honor the sort of diameter of the water wheel. Each of them had a different plant palette, different approach. Kelly talks about the mule fat circle, the clay circle. This is the compost circle, or rather the sacrificial compost circle. The idea here was, as all these circles were being liberated from asphalt and plants and living systems were re-enkindling in the soil and beyond, they were going to extract that lead. I want to remind everyone, lead is matter. It is an element. You cannot destroy lead. You cannot metabolize lead. There is this misconception that you can destroy it and it'll be gone forever. But if you were to do that, you would be an alchemist and you'd be able to solve a lot of our problems, right? You can't do that. Basic law of the universe. So the only thing you can do with lead is move it from one place to another, or to bind it into a compound that is less dangerous for people and the environment. So when plants were growing in all these circles with all this lead soil, they were effectively sucking it up into the root systems, but that lead is still in their roots and in their plant tissue, right? What do we usually do when we encounter contaminated soil in Los Angeles and Arizona and beyond?
Move it somewhere else.
You move it somewhere else? That's the second most common option. Any more? That's the third most common option, capping it with asphalt, which was what happened here, or fill soil and building on top of that. Any other ideas?
Remediation
is the least common approach because it's expensive and timely. And the a nature-based remediation approach like what we did here is the least common because it takes a lot more time, right? The most common approach when we encounter contaminated soil is we try not to encounter it in the first place. We pretend it's not there, we don't test the soil, and we continue to build, right? Even though we are pretty safe to assume that a land with a prior land use is probably contaminated, we still don't test, especially for small residential projects. That is the main reason why Los Angeles is heavily contaminated, and it goes beyond communities of color. You find contaminated soil in even the most affluent parts of Los Angeles, And it's basically become this hidden condition of urban life here. Right? So anyways, that's enough context for that. I want to now go into the mechanism of how this site was cleaned. All the circles, all the plants were taking up lead in their tissue. What can you do with this plant tissue, with this lead? You can scrape it off, send it to a landfill or to a toxic waste facility, which would effectively recreate the problem. When we scrape soil, that's what we do. We send it to a landfill or to a toxic waste facility. So why not just scrape the soil, right? What we ended up doing instead was keeping our problem on site. We did not want to send that problem downstream, because when we scrape soil in Los Angeles, the bulk of that toxic waste isn't kept in this city. It's actually sent to states like Nevada, Utah, and namely Arizona. Reason why is because your states have less environmental regulations when it comes to toxic waste. So it's cheaper for the state of California to send our toxic waste to you than it is for us to keep it here. And the problem with that is those toxic waste facilities have to be somewhere, right? And they're usually located next to communities of color that have very little social capital to fight these projects. The biggest toxic waste facility in Arizona that receives most of the state's toxic waste is not even a toxic waste facility. It's a normal landfill, and it's located right next to an indigenous reservation, right? So we weren't going to do that here. We weren't going to scrape our soil or send our toxic biomass to Arizona. We decided to compost it here in the sacrificial compost circle. This being the hotspot already, we figured, let's just make the problem contained here, since this is the worst case scenario anyways. What do you think happened? Actually, that's a kind of a strong rhetorical question, very little leeway. I want to tell you that the compost circle had the greatest reduction of lead throughout the entire site. The rest of the site was cleaned up, so much so that now the average lead level was 30 parts per million, meaning the entirety of all the unpaved areas of the moon are safe to live on now. You can grow food, you can have children, you can have a school here if you wanted to, right? Completely safe. But so that happened also here, which had the biggest amount of lead. Why do you think that happened?
The native plants that were growing in there?
Tell me more about the native plants. What native plants do you see?
Was it natural in the soil, already embedded in it, so it was already, I don't know, it's part of its system to clean up? I have no clue.
That was, I love it. You're on the right track with the native plants.
No.
Look at them. What are you standing under? This is, let me introduce you to my great friend. This is Fremont's cottonwood, Populus fremontii. It is native to actually large swaths of the southwestern United States. I believe it's native to Arizona too. But it's native to Owens Valley, which is where we brought this tree from during our 100 Mules March. And it's also native to the river of Los Angeles. This tree was planted in 2015, and look how tall it's gotten. That's over, what, 40, 50 feet tall? And that's only what you can see above ground. Imagine how extensive that root system is below our feet. Right? The other beautiful thing about cottonwoods is they send clones laterally. So all these other little trees that you see around this mother tree are all one organism. They're all interconnected and they share one root system. All that biomass being generated so quickly, all those roots penetrating deep into the ground, were probably sucking up all the lead that was being liberated back through decomposition here, right? And what does that mean to you? That means nature can heal herself if you allow her and liberate her to have her own agency to clean things up, right? If we plant more trees, if we have more living systems in contaminated areas like the moon, all these living systems can become net lead sinks, where they can be sequestered in tissue over the long periods of time and keep it safe for people and the environment. A lot of people ask me, well, what happens if a bird eats some fruit from this tree or a caterpillar eats the leaves? Are they being exposed to lead? Again, the beautiful thing about nature is that she tends to want to protect her own. Lead does not really move very readily above ground. It is only localized in the root systems of trees and plants. So anything above ground is completely safe for all the animals that are interfacing with this tree. And if we decide to grow food, even on toxic waste, most of our fruits are going to be safe to eat. So I offer this approach as a model of what we can be doing in development projects throughout the United States. But particularly more locally here in Los Angeles, what we can be doing in all the burn areas in Altadena and the Palisades after the wildfires this year. There are a number of residents that are having to navigate remediation on their own. They're scraping their soil and they're sending it to your state or to other landfills around the Southwest, when we could be dealing with this problem on site and healing our commons, right? Instead of sending it downstream. That is also the main through line of moving mountains. We have all this clean soil that we're encountering following natural disturbances while our communities are facing remediation on their own. Why don't we help support them by bringing clean soil into their communities? So why don't we see what that can look like? Please follow Kelly to Moving Mountains.
What? Keep this, you are moving.
Diego.
Yeah.
Why did they call it the sacrificial?
Compost circle?
Yes.
Because it was a sacrificial zone. We were going to contain all the lead in this part of the moon, basically making the conditions here worse in theory.
Yeah.
So it was a sacrificial zone for the rest of the moon.
Okay.
But what ended up happening was this is also cleaned up. Yeah. So it wasn't a sacrificial zone.
That's right.
But yeah, that's why it was called.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course.